This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, we have got so much content ready to roll for you here on this Monday Montana Talks. In the 6 o'clock hour, if you're just getting up and rolling with us, you might want to go back and listen to the podcast later on today or later on in the week. Played a part of my conversation with retired Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin at the General Michael Flynn movie event last night. Plus, we talked about Donald Trump Jr. in Missoula, Montana. I'll get back to more of that coverage here later this morning between 8 and 10. Actually, pretty much between 7:30 and 10 this morning. We'll have the phone lines open for you, anything and everything you want to talk about. So I'll just be mixing it up with all sorts of different content that we've got ready to roll for you here this morning. But the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Nerd Prom, as they call it, back in Washington, D.C., you know, when all the journalists and the celebrities and the politicians get together and, you know, they tell jokes. Anyway, Joe Biden had a joke about all of the journalist questions that he has been dodging.
Some of you complain that I don't take enough of your questions. No comment. Of course, the New York Times issued a statement blasting me for, quote, active and effectively avoiding independent journalists. Hey, if that's what it takes to get the New York Times to say I'm active and effective, I'm for it.
Anyway, Joe Concha tore into the media, sitting there laughing and clapping as Joe Biden joked about how he dodges any meaningful questions throughout his tenure as president of the United States. And so anyway, I'll get to that here later this hour of the show. There were a couple of jokes that caught my eye here. RNC Research shared these via Twitter. This one was pretty funny here. The Saturday Night Live guy was basically just reading from a script the entire time. Of course, he took a bunch of cheap shots at Donald J. Trump. But then he tried to at least throw some jokes at Joe Biden.
My Weekend Update co-anchor, Michael Che, was going to join me here tonight. But in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
They all know it. They all know it that Joe Biden has been shedding the support of black voters like crazy, Hispanic voters, too. Here was one other one that stood out.
Everything feels strange now. By a lot of measures, President Biden is having a very successful first term, but people don't seem to realize it. Like with the economy, the vibes are bad, but the numbers say it's strong. The economy is kind of like you on the steps of Air Force One. It feels like it's stumbling, but there is somehow upward progress.
Yeah, who else can say they get to fall upwards? I guess that was Colin Jost, I guess is his name, from Saturday Night Live. All right, we'll take a quick news and weather break here on Montana Talks. And then, I see she's on the phone lines. We've got Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Get into your business news and more. Great weekend this weekend. We were at the Rockin' R Friday night, V42 Fitness Saturday morning. And I had a cheerleading competition for the rest of the day Saturday. All before the Fusion Fight League event Saturday night in Bozeman, which were incredible, by the way. All right, stand by.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Republican Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene made a lot of noise about trying to take out House Speaker Mike Johnson recently. So why didn't Greene move? It's about the math. She would have lost. House Democrats were coy about their plans to possibly protect Johnson, but after the House passed aid to Ukraine, it's likely Democrats would have supported Johnson by voting to table or kill Greene's resolution. Or they may have taken a walk and been absent for the vote. Democratic absences would have driven down the total number of House members voting. That would have diluted the votes of members who wanted to undercut Johnson. So Johnson remains a speaker for now. That doesn't mean the right isn't infuriated at Johnson. Quote, I'm frustrated that there was zero border security in the bill, said GOP Texas Congressman Chip Roy. Quote, it's mind-bogglingly stupid to put that on the floor. Opponents of Johnson want the speaker issue to smolder over the next few weeks. They believe there will be an uprising from the public over what Johnson did, and that will compel Republicans who are quiet now to turn against the speaker. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some rain showers around the area today, especially in the Bozeman area early, then later in the day across the Billings area as well. High temperature readings all range from around 57 in the Bozeman area to about 68 in Billings. For tonight, looking at some scattered showers as temperatures head back in the mid-20s, turning to snow showers late in Bozeman. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, every Monday we get back to business with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And Evelyn, always great to have you on the show. I think this is kind of a cool business story. So Evelyn, I was at a cheerleading competition with our daughter for most of the day on Saturday. And, you know, of course, after the competition winds up, you know, we were at Manhattan High School. Then there's just a long line of cars trying to clear out and get to the interstate. So I decided to drive the frontage road back towards Belgrade instead. And I'm driving past Belgrade Liquors, and they've been doing some events. They had, like, Jason Momoa there. They've had the Horse Soldiers there. But my next event to go to was the Fusion Fights at the Brick Breeding Fieldhouse in Bozeman. And as I'm driving past Belgrade Liquors, they have these massive video screens on top of their store and then out in front by the road. And they had a full video promo going for the Fusion Fights. I was like, man, that's just like the coolest thing ever, what they had out there, the video screens. I thought it was a creative way to kind of promote their business. But anyway, cool busy weekend in Bozeman and then Billings for the General Flynn event last night. But what have you been up to? What's the big business news?
Well, this is National Small Business Week. And the U.S. Small Business Administration in Montana has announced their award winners, which they do every year. And the really great news is that of the four awards they're presenting, three of them go to people in Billings. So while the business Small Business Person of the Year is from Butte, her name is Loretta Bulliard. She is owner of Mountain West Psychological Resources in Butte. But then all of the others are from Billings. And the other award winners are the Women-Owned Business, Small Business, and that is Linda Hines and Susan Baker, who own the Yarn Bar, which is downtown, I believe. And Young Entrepreneur of the Year is Genia Castro and Aaron Waller, who own Graphic Finesse. And the Small Business Champion of the Year is Karen Gross of Canvas Creek Team Building. So, you know, Billings can, you know, pat ourselves in the back. Here we have, you know, three standout stars in the business world this year. But they're just, you know, they're just a handful of people among many, many small businesses in Billings and in Montana. So I thought maybe this is National Small Business Week. We could talk about the importance of small businesses and try to encourage people to start their own business. It's a lifelong dream for some people, and there are others who are kind of intimidated at the whole process, because it takes some risk. But entrepreneurs are super, super important when it comes to building an economy, and they do a huge service that goes largely unrecognized, even though they're really important. Entrepreneurs spark and fuel good changes in our community.
That's right. And they oftentimes they invest it right back in the local communities. You can get a hold of people locally when you're, you know, promoting local events and programs and things like that. Whereas, like, oftentimes with some of these corporations, I mean, good luck getting a hold of anybody. Good luck getting them to do anything, because it's all, you know, basically run by somebody somewhere else, and they have all this red tape and all these policies tie in their hands. You know, as you talk about the importance of entrepreneurs and small businesses, you know, it's crazy. Just last week, Joe Biden basically pledged that if he stays in office in the White House, that he's going to fight to make sure that the Trump tax cuts do not stay in. That he will repeal the Trump tax cuts, which sunset here pretty soon. I mean, that would be a devastating tax hike, especially on small business owners, not to mention the rest of us.
Yeah, and it certainly would hurt small businesses. A lot of small businesses get started on something like a tax return or their credit card or Uncle Joe, who's got a little bit of extra money. But, you know, it is the taxes, even if they're not huge sums, and they often are, but they're a source of startups, and they do more good in the community, in the private sector, in the hands of entrepreneurs than they ever do in the hands of government.
That's right.
I mean, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And the money stays here locally and helps our local economy, you know, I'd say threefold, but it's probably seven times fold, you name it. All right, more business news coming up after this quick news and weather break and our farm and ranch report here. Hey, you know, speaking of business, you know, healthcare, lots of healthcare options here in Montana. But one thing that hasn't been in Montana until recently is a specialization known as regenerative medicine that is offered by QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in really this exciting revolution in pain management. If you've got pain in your knees, pain in your joints, pain in your hips, what they do is they take the healing properties that are already in your body, put them directly into those achy joints. You can get a free consultation. Call them right now. Call them later today if you want. Call QC Kinetics for a free consultation. They've got hundreds of clinics all across America, but they're now in Montana. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.
I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute. A guilty plea in a nationwide scheme to steal and sell human body parts. Former mortuary worker Candace Chapman Scott confessed to selling 24 boxes of body parts from medical school cadavers provided by the University of Arkansas in Little Rock to a man in Pennsylvania for nearly $11,000. Scott reportedly started selling the remains of the cadavers donated to the school to Jeremy Pauley after meeting him in a Facebook group about, quote, oddities. In September, Pauley himself also pleaded guilty to charges related to the theft and sale of body parts, not just from the Arkansas mortuary, but also from Harvard Medical School. Scott faces up to 30 years in prison on charges of interstate transportation of stolen property and conspiracy to commit mail fraud. She also faces up to $500,000 fine. There's more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some rain showers around the area today, especially in the Bozeman area early, then later in the day across the Billings area as well. High temperature readings will range from around 57 in the Bozeman area to about 68 in Billings. For tonight, looking at some scattered showers as temperatures head back in the mid-20s, turning to snow showers late in Bozeman. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hi.
This is where Montana talks ag. With Lane Nordland.
As more cases of avian influenza appear in dairy cattle across the nation, concerning news for beef cattle producers as Colombia is implementing restrictions on the import of beef and beef products from certain U.S. states where dairy cows have tested positive. Those states include Colorado, Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, South Dakota, and Texas. While no U.S. beef cattle have tested positive for bird flu, the South American nation is the sole country to officially impose restrictions on U.S. beef exports due to H5N1. The U.S. Meat Export Federation views the import restrictions as lacking scientific basis and impactful for exporters doing business in Colombia and their customers. U.S. health officials are engaging with the country and other trading partners who have requested additional information on the U.S. government's epidemiology to mitigate trade impacts. USDA is requiring testing of milk for lactating dairy cattle before interstate movement. Canadian officials have also asked USDA to conduct the same test for dairy cattle entering Canada from the United States. USDA's chief veterinary officer, Rosemary Sifford, stated that they are also providing information to assist all trading partners upon request, although specific partners have not been disclosed, in keeping them up to speed on bird flu in the U.S. I'm Lane Northlund.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here in just a few minutes, we'll open up the phone lines for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks for the rest of the morning, frankly, starting at 7:30 here after the Fox News update. Chatting with Evelyn Pyburn here every Monday. We get back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. There were a couple other business shout-outs I wanted to give. You know, of course, Evelyn, I've been doing this statewide tour. I know you've heard a thing or two about paid for by Americans for Prosperity in Montana. We've been targeting inflation and the massive spending by Joe Biden and John Tester driving up the cost of everything. But so we did an event at the Rockin' R Bar on Friday night in downtown Bozeman. That was a great time. We probably had 30, 40 listeners or so drop in and see us and hang out. And then there were a bunch of other people that were in there that we got a chance to catch up with as well. Our friends from, we had Owen, one of our listeners, Owen from Bozeman dropped in, or actually Owen in Belgrade. But anyway, he has a distillery. He has a distillery. It's called Black Pot Distillery in Belgrade, and man, he brought me a bottle, and I tried some of that on Saturday night. Very good stuff. I can't wait to share that with some of the crew down at the Summit Cigar Lounge. Very good whiskey there from the Black Pot Distillery in Belgrade. And then also our friends from Signs of Montana, I've gotten to tour their shop, and they make some of the coolest signage. If you need a sign for your business, they make some very cool signs, lit up signs and more. They do all the signage like in Yellowstone National Park and for some of the, you know, well-known businesses, not just in the Bozeman area, but really across the state. So it was cool to see those guys in the house at the Rockin' R on Friday as well. Evelyn, did you have more business news you wanted to share? I got a couple of stories I wanted to share with you for sure.
Okay, well, yes, I have some stats that I thought would be appropriate since it's National Small Business Week. the capacity in which small businesses function is that they are in a position to see a downturn or some area that's going unutilized in the economy or their local business, and they figure out how to use it. And because entrepreneurs tend to run small businesses, they are able to quickly adjust to changes that will always happen. And it is at this point that innovations and things that can change the entire world emerge and become a huge benefit. Like most of the rest of the nation, however, the share of Montanans who own a business as their main job has fallen rather dramatically over the past 10, 15 years. And it's been a gradual decline. And but it's experienced a turnaround in the last couple of years. But in overall, the state of entrepreneurship in Montana is kind of a mixed bag. It continues to generate more entrepreneurs than any other state, and those entrepreneurs tend to create businesses that are more likely to survive. So after 5 years, they're probably, the odds are they're probably still in business. And part of the reason for that, that they don't grow very much, though, is that Montanans, when they're interviewed, the entrepreneurs say they want it that way. They aren't really big on making huge, big businesses or anything. They like to have a steady small business that they are in control of, apparently. But that, too, could be changing because in the recent past, access to venture capital has become greater, and business support services and connection to the outside world has changed a lot. So the opportunities and the pathway to becoming a bigger business has been growing. So it's an ever-changing dynamic there. So, but why does Montana have so many entrepreneurs? I've thought about this a lot. And I think I've never really encountered anybody who's given a real solid reason for that. But I have two reasons. And I think that one of the things is that because Montana was so historically disconnected from mainstream U.S. economic activity in our nation, that if you wanted opportunity in Montana, you had to create it yourself. And especially during hard times when there are no jobs or clear avenues to build a career, that is when most people start their businesses, is really when times are tough. And the other reason I think that Montanans tend to be very entrepreneurial is because they have backgrounds that touch on agriculture, either directly or indirectly. And nothing is more entrepreneurial than agriculture.
That's right. If you need something, you got to figure out how to find it. You got to figure out how to get it. You got to figure out how to make it. You got to figure out how to fix it. You got to figure out how to do it all. So why not do it all and start your own business? Great summary, Evelyn Piper.
News, I'm Therese Crowley. Campus protesters get physical at UCLA. Scuffles between pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli protesters. And pro-Palestinian groups break down police barriers at GW University. But Secretary of State Blinken has a message on negotiations from Saudi Arabia.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel. And in this moment, the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas.
How would candidate Donald Trump handle the campus protest? Trump posting this morning in all caps, "Stop the protest now," a day off from his New York City trial. The former president also dismissing rival RFK Jr. as a Democrat plant in a wasted protest vote. The independent Kennedy says, "Meet me on stage to debate to both Trump and Biden." America is listening to Fox News.
All right. Yeah, there were a couple of stories that I wanted to share with Evelyn, and I'll share them with all you guys here, of course. But one of the thing, Evelyn, I was going to tell you is, so I mentioned how we've been doing these events paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. It's the Bidenomics tour that we've been doing, where we've been highlighting the massive spending of Joe Biden and John Tester and how it's driving up the cost of everything. And that's what we were doing. That's what we were talking about at the Rock and R and in Bozeman on Friday. That's what we were talking about at V42 Fitness Saturday morning. Got to see a bunch of great folks there. And then, of course, the Fusion fights. This was incredible. I got to go in the octagon Saturday night before one of their pro fight events, one of the main fights later in the evening, and got to address the crowd for probably 90 seconds or so on camera with Triller TV, and then addressing the, I'll have to check in with Terrell Bracken, probably 2,500, 3,000 people. I'm not sure how many people they had there at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse, but it was a great crowd. Great to meet the folks at Belgrade Liquors there as well. It was fun catching up with their whole crew. So today, around lunchtime, we're going to be doing another one of our events. We're going to have some gift cards available. We're going to be at the Ace Hardware Store, the King's Ace Hardware Store, on Zimmerman Trail in Billings. That'll be around lunchtime today. And then tomorrow, Tuesday afternoon, starting around 4:30 to 6:30 or so, we will be at the Lockwood Ace Hardware Store doing a similar event. And we might add one more into the mix, so stay tuned on that one. So hope to see you guys out there. And hey, if you if you have a restaurant or a grocery store or, you know, a hardware store or an event like that, and you want us to bring our event to your location, send me an email. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app or email me, Aaron@MontanaTalks.com, because, yeah, we're still looking not only to get out elsewhere across the state, but certainly do more events in the Billings and Bozeman areas. In fact, I'm going to be speaking at the Gallatin County Republican Women Luncheon coming up on Friday, May 10th. So maybe we can do some events, in the Bozeman-Belgrade area Thursday the 9th and then also on Friday the 10th as well. Gas stations. If you own a gas station, we'd love to come help pay for people's gas at your gas station to make up for the high gas prices people are paying right now because of the energy policies of Joe Biden and John Tester. But the other two stories I wanted to share, you know, as I travel the state doing these events, you know, we get great information from our listeners that call into the show, but it's always interesting. I find this every time we get out of the studio and we go see folks face-to-face in person, you get people that will share information with you that they won't necessarily put it in email, they won't necessarily put it in an app message, and they may not even call into the show and tell you about a story about this whole student loan debt relief stood out to me. Another story about DEI and the discriminatory scam known as DEI. How is that impacting Department of Agriculture funding? This was very interesting. I'm going to share two of those stories after this. Phone lines are open for you.
This is Bullet Points. I'm Tom Graham. Undermine America's constitutional right to keep and bear arms. That's what the conservative group, the American Accountability Foundation, is saying about some of the biggest institutions on Wall Street. The group released a report recently calling out several companies, including Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America, for using their control over capital to undercut gun manufacturers and organizations that represent gun owners. The group's sharing a memo with Fox Business writing, "Over the last decade, significant media attention has been paid to the left's obsession with using banks and asset managers to end fossil fuels. Unfortunately, very little attention has been given to the left's use of certain banks to chip away at legal private ownership of firearms. Goldman Sachs was unavailable to comment, and both Wells Fargo and Bank of America didn't have an immediate response." And those are your bullet points. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, dang it. I should have worn my George Strait t-shirt today. They call me the fireman. That's my name. They call me the fireman. Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, he is calling Donald J. Trump the fireman. The fireman. The world is on fire, and he sees Trump as a bit of a fireman. They call him the fireman. That's his name. Anyway, that's a... We're playing more generic music so that they don't shut off our podcast on the various podcasting platforms. But that's all right. You guys, the moment I say George Strait and fireman, you know exactly the song I'm talking about. You can hear it right now, can't you? You're gonna play that later this morning. All right, let's see. Maybe I'll get to that soundbite here in just a second. I do want to go to Joe Concha talking about the White House Correspondents' Dinner Saturday night in Washington, D.C. with all the celebrities and everybody else. Nerd prom, as they refer to it. It's like the Oscars for all the nerds in Washington, D.C. I've been to it, yeah. So there you go. I'm one of the nerds who actually got to attend one of those correspondence dinners back in the day when George W. was still president. But first, a couple of stories that I was going to share. So it's very interesting. You know, I mentioned I was at the Rockin' R Bar in Bozeman Friday night, met with a ton of great listeners and other folks that were there, and then we were at V42 Fitness Saturday morning in Three Forks. And then, we had the Fusion Fight League events on Saturday night. But we've been traveling everywhere from the Farm Expo in Plentywood to the Schmeckfest in Luster to the grocery store in Lodgegrass, all over the place, right? And so you pick up some interesting information and you meet some incredible people all along the way. But the student loan debt forgiveness, as they call it, right, where you're being asked to pay for somebody else's student loans. I paid off my student loans in Afghanistan. And then by joining the military, I helped prevent myself from accumulating more student loan debt, you know, with scholarships and GI Bill and things like that. But anyway, this was very interesting. I was talking with a friend who she shared a story where she said, you know, I still have some student loan debt. And I thought, I'm going to see what this process entails. I'm going to see how this whole thing works. So she said she went through the process of applying for the student loan debt forgiveness and got rejected. Here's why. Now, this is just a story that was shared with me. She said she was rejected from having her student loans canceled out because she works in the career field that she got her college degree in. So let me break that down a little bit further. So basically, if you got a college degree in underwater basket weaving, but then, ding, 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 couldn't find a worthwhile job or career in underwater basket weaving, then they will pay your student loans. But if you got a, you know, if you went to college and got a degree in something that actually had a career path, and, you know, maybe it doesn't pay a crazy amount, but it's a career path, and you still have student loans, at least what she told me, and somebody correct me if this is wrong, but she told me that they wouldn't cancel her student loan debts because she's actually working in a career path that she went to college for. I mean, that just sounds insane. Anyway, like that was one story that I picked up out there on the trail. The other story I picked up, think about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, this DEI scam, this discriminatory, racist concept of DEI that Joe Biden and John Tester are pushing throughout government, whole of government approach. That's the key buzzword you got to use there. So we think about DEI, how it's infecting so many different branches of government right now, as Joe Biden and John Tester infect this every level of government with this scam. Think about it. So we were talking about how, okay, all this massive federal government spending from Joe Biden and John Tester, massive government spending, and it's driving up the debt, $35 trillion roughly right now. And then as a result, it's also driving up inflation. It's driving up the cost of everything that you and I have to pay for right now, groceries, restaurant bills, everything, you name it, right? But then think about this. What are they spending our money on? What are they – I mean, like, they're not only driving up the debt to $35 trillion to take care of – I mean, they're not taking care of needs in America by and large, right? I mean – even if the money was going towards good things, we're $35 trillion in debt. And the massive government spending is fueling inflation that's costing you and I more. So even if they were funding good things, it's like, gosh, we don't have the money. What are you doing, right? But think about it. DEI, they're pushing DEI at every level. So think about it. If you're a farmer or a rancher here in Montana and you want to take part in U.S. Department of Agriculture programs, why would they give money to you? Well, because we feed the world. We feed the country. Look at the massive amounts of cattle. Look at the massive amounts of wheat, peas, lentils, pulse crops you throw in there, right? We feed the world. We feed the planet. So if you're trying to help feed the planet, if you're trying to help feed the United States of America and you have U.S. Department of Agriculture programs, or if you're trying to just, I don't know, improve the rangeland or improve habitat through conservation funding programs, you would naturally, more of those USDA programs would go towards actual farm and ranch areas, right? You know, Montana, Iowa, et cetera. But this discriminatory DEI funding, one guy was telling me this, that it's even going into, seeping into the USDA. Now, we know that because remember when they announced under the Biden administration that they would forgive farm loans. You could be a Hispanic farmer in California and they forgive your farm loan. But if you're Ole Canole in Opine, Montana, nope, you don't get your farm loan forgiven because you're a white guy. So we know that they're already discriminating in these farm lending forgiveness programs, right? But how else are they discriminating? What they're doing is, in the example that was given, is like, okay, well, why would they fund farm and ranch programs through the USDA or habitat or conservation programs in the white state of Montana and instead, like, money gets diverted to somebody growing tomatoes on a rooftop in Chicago. Because that checks a woke checkbox. Because, see, there's more people of color in Chicago. And so even if you're just growing a few tomatoes that aren't even going to touch a fraction of the population of Chicago, rooftop tomatoes in Chicago, here you go, DEI. Actual farm ranch programs that actually feed the planet, feed the country. It's not woke. It's just not woke. Anyway, just some very interesting information that we're picking up out there on the trail. All right, back to the White House Correspondents' Dinner here. I opened up the 7 o'clock hour playing some of the jokes at the White House Correspondents' Association dinner Saturday night in Washington, D.C. I played the clip where Joe Biden was joking to the press, and the press was laughing along, clapping along, as he was joking about how he completely avoids them. Apparently, he's like the only president who has totally dodged the editorial boards for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal. Only president who's ever done that. Anyway, listen to what Joe Concha had to say very, very early this morning, even before Fox and Friends kicked off.
I love how you see everybody laughing and clapping in the audience, all those journalists and some celebrities, when he mocks the New York Times. Joe Biden has not done one interview with the New York Times editorial board or the Wall Street Journal editorial board or the Washington Post editorial board in his presidency. No modern president has avoided all three of those major publications, and yet he's up there laughing, and they're laughing along with him. I found that quite disturbing. Look, Joe Biden is fine. If you put him in, you give him scripted remarks and a teleprompter and something before he goes up on stage, he is more than fine as far as his delivery. The question is, Todd, if we go to debates and there is no more teleprompter and he actually gets serious questions about the serious issues in this country, then how is he going to perform? And that's why I think he made some news with Howard Stern on Friday where he said, I'll debate. And I think his handlers probably were like, wait, whoa, what? What did you say? Because I'm not sure they want to put him up on that stage at this point.
If there is a debate, it will be a bloodbath. Joe Biden will be at the bad end of that. And speaking of the word bloodbath, Joe referenced that again out of context against Trump. It was one of those moments that everybody in the audience knew that Joe was wrong, but they had to clap anyway, to your point, because they all have to suck up to the president. The host of the night was SNL comedian Colin Jost. Of course, he had plenty of Trump jokes as well. Listen.
Before I begin tonight, can we just acknowledge how refreshing it is to see a president of the United States at an event that doesn't begin with a bailiff saying, all rise. Republican candidate for president owes $500 million in fines for bank fraud and is currently spending his days farting himself awake during a porn star hush money trial, and the race is tied? The race is tied.
Yeah, actually, it's not tied. Actually, that little fake news summary that you just delivered right there, nobody buys it. They see exactly what you're doing. Locking up your political opposition in a courtroom while Joe Biden shuffles around campaigning, attending nerd prom and all this other stuff. And the race is not tied. As Concha pointed out, Donald Trump is up several points right now.
Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Fox News commentary.
USC caved to anti-Israel thugs and canceled the school's main stage graduation ceremony. This is why we can't have nice things. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. January 26th, 1988 was a cold and suspiciously quiet night at the Indianapolis Police Department. But the frigid night took a chilling turn with news of a triple homicide. This week, I'm joined by retired Sergeant Judd Green for a look back at this savage case. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
First, it was remote learning at Columbia, and now USC in Southern California has caved to anti-Israel campus thugs with the cancellation of the school's main stage commencement ceremony. The planned May 10th ceremony was nixed due to new safety measures. The university has promised to hold other alternative, smaller commencement celebrations, but they will be nothing like the main stage event, which welcomed roughly 65,000 attendees in past years. This is a cowardly move by USC. Instead of putting a swift end to this campus intimidation by pro-Palestinian and openly anti-Semitic agitators, the university essentially rubber-stamped and validated their behavior. If you're a high school student, now might be the time to look into trade or vocational options, given that even the nation's top institutions can't seem to keep their students safe. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren, is fearless at Outkick.com.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Howard Stern long ago stopped being a shock jock and turned into one of the best interviewers in the business. That's why President Biden went on his show for more than an hour and told some funny stories about growing up and some sad stories about his loss of family members. But the SiriusXM host, totally in the tank. For the president, if you're a good father to your family, I know you'll be a good father to the country. And you're the kind of leader I love. We're lucky to have you in the Oval Office. When Stern said, I can't imagine you're going to lose, Biden said about Trump, he's promised if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath. But the irony here is that in the old days, it was Donald Trump, long before he got into politics, calling into the Stern show. They would do locker room talk and rate women, but politically, Stern now can't stand him. Now, he did say he would be willing to debate Joe Biden, but I'm not so sure. I think he was just deflecting the question. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Man, it is an absolute circus, a clown show that is taking place in this country right now. But this is no normal circus. This is no normal clown show. Did you guys hear about Paranormal Cirque? The Paranormal Circus in Billings last weekend. Boy, doesn't our country seem like a paranormal circus right now? Open borders, criminals put back out on the streets, the law.
Town & Country Supply has you covered in Laurel, Hardin, and Bridger. Town & Country Supply, rooted deep, growing strong, and this is your co-op.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, I'm a professor. I'm an economics professor. Did you guys see some of these nut job protesters? Oh, man. I'll tell you what, tomorrow, well, who knows? I mean, we'll probably have a million other things to talk about by then. But when John Jackson is with us on Tuesday, I'm sure he saw some of these videos. So Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL from Butte, America, from Butte, Montana, he's the Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden. He shared this video of one of the protesters. I forget which college campus it's at. There's so many of them. These anti-Semitic, nut job, pro-Hamas terrorist protesters that are occupying these campuses. It's the next George Floyd riots. George Floyd was for 2020. Now they're on to pro-Hamas terrorists. That's their cause celeb for the 2024 elections. That's for their hot summer that they have planned for us, as Nancy referred to in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But Rob O'Neill shared this, and you said we wouldn't have fun today. Shame on you. This, it must be like a state trooper. I think it was in Georgia, but there was this uppity white liberal protester and getting hauled off in handcuffs and, you know, was getting out of hand. This state trooper picks this dude up like it was a little baby and just like baby carries this protester off the college ground. I mean, I would have done the fireman's carry, you know, thrown him over my back. This guy baby carried this little crybaby protester. Absolutely hysterical. I think he starts crying, too, as he's being walked away. He, she, I don't know. You never know what their pronouns are anymore with some of these wackos on the left. But then there was this one. Let me cue up the audio for you here. I'm a professor. I'm a professor. This was sent out via X from the account Ali London. The DailyWire.com has this headline. Economics professor at protest screams, "I'm a professor," while getting tackled by police. This was at Emory University. Emory University, where more of these anti-Semitic nut job pro-Hamas terrorist protesters were at. By the way, there were several of them on the University of Montana campus yesterday when Donald Trump Jr. Was there. I'll talk more about that here in the next couple hours of the show. Very interesting, too, by the way. Who was leading the nut job protest, the pro-Hamas protest on the University of Montana campus? Who was the guy leading the protest against Donald Trump Jr. and crew in Missoula yesterday? Oh, some elitist, privileged son of a University of Montana professor. Surprise, right? Big surprise there. Anyway, I'm only going to use a portion of this. There was lots of beep, beep, beep as these protesters throw F-bombs and more at the police.
You people are fascists. You are Hitler. You are happy dog. Shame on you. May you never live another day.
I am a professor.
This is every professor, everyone.
I am a professor.
You are rabid dog. You are fascist.
I'm a professor. I'm a professor of economics. Yeah, nobody cares, lady. Nobody cares, you nut job, as she's being put in handcuffs and on the ground. I mean, and listen to that woke white liberal dude in the background. You are fascists. You are Hitler. You are rabid dogs. May you never live again. Dude, I think you might be actually what you're projecting onto everybody else, as you're literally taking part in a protest attacking Jewish people, attacking Israel, calling for genocide against the Jews. But yet you're calling law enforcement, simply trying to bring peace to these campuses. You're calling them the fascists? And this entitled professor's son at the University of Montana campus, same deal. He said basically the same garbage that woke white liberal guy was just saying right there. Stand by. We'll tell you more next.
This is Bullet Points. I'm Tom Graham. Undermine America's constitutional right to keep and bear arms. That's what the conservative group, the American Accountability Foundation, is saying about some of the biggest institutions on Wall Street. The group released a report recently calling out several companies, including Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America, for using their control over capital to undercut gun manufacturers and organizations that represent gun owners. The group sharing a memo with Fox Business writing, "Over the last decade, significant media attention has been paid to the left's obsession with using banks and asset managers to end fossil fuels. Unfortunately, very little attention has been given to the left's use of certain banks to chip away at legal private ownership of firearms. Goldman Sachs was unavailable to comment, and both Wells Fargo and Bank of America didn't have an immediate response." And those are your bullet points. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.